the ambient sound you can hear in the background is a diesel engine belonging to some carriages owned by Chiltern Railways. I have no idea where they're going. I have no idea where Chiltern is, but at this current moment in time, I'm in the Snow Hill station, which is in Birmingham. I've never been in this station before. And earlier on, I was never in another Birmingham station before today. What was that called?
That was Moore Street.
Moore Street. And the person you are hearing informing you right now is Paul Hadley. Hadley Paul on Twitter. Tonight has been an awesome night. Really, really good night. A very good way to be spending a Thursday. Is it Thursday? No, Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Good way to be
tomorrow.
Good way to be spending a Wednesday. Somebody commented on the Solihull train being on time, which is great because that's the train we're after. That's where Paul lives. That's where we're heading after today. Like he said, Wednesday. And today we went to the Electric. Was it called the Electric?
The Electric Cinema.
The Electric Cinema. And watched We Live in Public. What were your initial thoughts? Now, I'm asking the person that actually brought We Live in Public to Birmingham because he saw it on in London and thought, I want a piece of this. Let's go for it. It's Birmingham, if you're listening abroad, is the second largest city in the United Kingdom. And I guess this might be the most northerly point that this film has been seen, and it's going to be in Edinburgh in the near future?
Yeah, Edinburgh in January, I believe. Opinions on the film? Very true, very visionary, considering it was made, started being documented 10 years ago. So, about the psychological effects of surveillance and cameras and the effect that it has on people. But it's all kind of coming true with Facebook and people watching and CCTV and satellites and technology.
It's interesting when we look at the actual We Live in Public experiment, the bunker and the cubicles and the way that everything was documenting between these cubicles, between all of the people. Is that our train pulling up?
It could well be our train. No, this one stops here, so we can carry on chatting.
I would carry on anyway. We could walk and talk, can't you?
Yeah,
you had that much drink?
Oh, absinthe, mate. Absinthe. Enough of it.
There was a good point about the Electric Theatre. Before we got there, I didn't realise it was just before 5 o'clock when I spotted this strange and interesting container behind the bar. And I said, what's that? And he said, that's an original absinthe ice water kind of supply, which you would you'd soften the shot of absinthe. And I said, wow, it looks pretty impressive. He said, yeah, there's only possibly 8 left in existence. We had 2 of them and we smashed one, unfortunately, and the other 2 that we know of exist in the homes of Marilyn Manson and Johnny Depp. I says, put it on the counter and let me try some of that. He says, well, you've got a choice of 2 absinthe. This one is £4 a shot, and we can burn that. This one is £8 a shot, and we can't set fire to that for fear of the glass exploding in your face. I said, okay, let me have one of the burning ones first, and the not-so-burning ones afterwards. So I had a couple before the film. You had one before the film.
Yeah, damn good they were too.
And for the opening scenes of the film, with the incredible edits that were in place and the graphics, maybe I milked it a bit in my own mind, but I did feel I was enjoying it slightly more than I probably should have been. The whole kind of juxtaposition between how we are using social networks and how the world is surveilling us right now, I don't think was covered as much as it necessarily should have been publicly right out there in your face, but it was hinted towards enough for me to think, oh my God. The total breakdown of this little micro society that occurred in the bunker made me think, maybe this will happen to us right now. And I keep joking and talking about the fact that I could switch all of this off tomorrow and build a yurt and just have a log burning stove and whittle my life away quite happily. The job I had before I got involved in any techno babble was called a pastore, meaning shepherd,
or cow herder, and that's what I did, and I didn't have any technology, and I was very, very happy. In fact, I would say it's the best job I've ever had. So I can kind of understand where Josh, the guy in the film, the guy, the visionary, is coming from when he just binned it all. This guy's telling his wife to stop farting. I can imagine and totally understand why he just went and started an apple farm. I don't even know why I'm recording this right now, because you've taken me to a real ale pub, and how many ales did we have?
I'm not going to apologise. I lost count. 12?
We had some very, very nice beers, which were printed up on a massive LCD screen, which I haven't seen before. I go to the kind of pubs that, you know, reluctantly buy chalk to write it on the board, or you look at the photocopied pump logos which they have. They had colour photocopied pump logos. So we definitely dabbled in some nice beers tonight.
Digital chalk.
Really, really nice. We came out of the pub and it was absolutely chucking it down, and I threw my hoodie up. We've made it to the train station, and there was a very, very whingy lady, and I thought, oh, this is going to make a great sample. And I said to her, how do you feel about arriving in Birmingham right now? And she just says, Birmingham's a shithole. And she went on for a bit. And then she just came out with some horrible racist comments. And I was thinking, there's absolutely no need for that. And I censored myself. I actually deleted the audio booth that I'd started recording, even though she was hilarious in her I hate this place kind of initial statement. And then afterwards I thought, maybe I shouldn't have censored myself, and we should have carried on with our reactions to her. You were offering a plastic bag to put over her head for her to keep herself dry.
I was offering her to tie it around her neck. And
that's what I thought. So maybe we should have continued. But I was in a bit of shock because, I don't know, I come from a certain area of the sticks where I don't hear that. And you said you haven't heard that kind of talk for a long time.
Oh, it's been, blimey, 15 years. You know, there was riots in Handsworth, and, you know, there was racism that was rife. But to hear it from a white woman of, what was she, 25, something like
maybe,
that?
Maybe, yeah.
Oh, horrible.
Just throwing it into the conversation, yeah, things she didn't like about Birmingham. And I was like, oh, just go out there, get wet. You know, I don't know, some people come from certain backgrounds, so I think they are indoctrinated, and I don't want to give them any excuse for their mentality, but it's kind of weird. I'm glad we can laugh about it, and we're sat here on a stainless steel bench waiting for our train, which is going to be 9 minutes time.
Yeah. The sad thing about it is that woman's probably going to go away and mate and have children, and those children are going to have the same opinions as she, and when they're old enough to articulate it, then they are also going to mate and etc.
Well, let's bring us right back now to the film and the information technological boom that we're having right now, the fact that we have access to more conversations, more people's lives, and more. Maybe this is a good thing. Maybe her children won't. Her children will have a mobile phone that will enable them a window to the world, and they will see that the majority of the people aren't racist, aren't xenophobic, aren't so closeted in their minds, and that when they start rebelling against their parents, it's going to be rebelling against their parents' racism.
Yeah,
that's a good thing.
I think it is a very good thing, and I'm going to cross my fingers and my toes and everything else and hope that is going to come to fruition.
One thing we definitely saw in the film We Live in Public, there are a lot of people from all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of cultures living together, and yes, there was the angst and the anxiousness from living in close proximity after a while. It's okay, not football supporters, just drunk people. It was just your normal angst you would have from living in close proximity. There was nothing racist and no kind of xenophobia occurring from any shape or form. Lots of people are having their photograph taken with a plastic statue over there. I don't know if it's plastic. Is it plastic?
I think it's aluminium.
There's an aluminium man holding an umbrella and a suitcase, and he's sprayed silver. I'm sure he's sprayed silver. It can't be aluminium. That way a turn, and someone had stolen that and melted it down ages ago. People are having their photographs taken with him. He's probably the most famous man in Birmingham right now. But you won't see him unless you come here to Snow Hill train station, because the avatar connected with this particular audio boo is probably going to be the absinthe pump that started off the whole night.
Oh dear.
It's still shadowing my mind.
Very well. Very well. Very good. Maybe see? We should stop now.
Yeah, I think so. Do you know what the problem is? The more I try to actually stop recording, and I have the less likely I'm going to be able to. Oh, here we go. 10 minutes 47. Who on earth?
It's going to take a week to upload, you know.
It's going to be 11 minutes. By the time I click stop, it's going to be 11 minutes, which is just, oh my God, it's gone. About now. Sorry, 11 minutes